A couple of weeks ago in New York City, four men were indicted for stealing body parts from a Brooklyn funeral home and selling them for transplant. The body of the great broadcaster and writer Alastair Cook was among those stolen. Susan Cook Kittredge is a minister of the Old Meeting House in East Montpelier, Vermont, also Alastair Cook's daughter. She joins us today on the Talk of the Nation opinion page from the Capital Bureau of Vermont Public Radio in Montpelier. This past weekend, she described in the New York Times her incredulity when she learned what had befallen her father's remains. And Susan Cook Kittredge, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
When and how did you get this news?
I received a telephone call from the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office about 10 days before Christmas. I got a message on my answering machine first, and my first reaction, of course, was, what have I done wrong, that the district attorney should have caught up with me. But I did call him back, and he asked me if I had heard about the investigation into this crime, and I said that I had not, living in Vermont. And he went on to explain it to me, and it's really hard for me to say what my reaction was because I don't remember. I sort of blank out when someone tells you that someone's stolen your father's body and chopped it up and sold it.
You thought your father had been cremated.
I did think my father had been cremated, and I still don't know that he wasn't. I just don't know how much of him was cremated.
There was, you wrote in your piece, in many old houses in Vermont, what was called a borning room right next to the kitchen, to the hearth, the warm part of the house where people were not only brought into this world, where they left it as well, that we used to have a much closer relationship with death. But of late, you say, we literally put death in a box.
Well, I've thought a lot about this, obviously, over the last few months and tried to understand it in different ways. And it does. One of the themes that keeps coming back to me is that I do think we have a cultural denial of death, and that we, starting at the front farmhouse parlor where we used to take care of those who were dying at home, and when they died, all the women came in and dressed up Aunt Matilda in her finest Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and put on her favorite little jewelry or something. And death was literally a part of our lives. And we have been quick, I think, to give that over. And we're, you know, it's not really surprising if you stop to think about it. Nobody wants to think a lot about death or what happens to bodies or spend a lot of time with bodies. So if you have parts of a system that come in and say, don't worry, dear, we'll take care of it, and they whisk the body away, we're, I think, a little too quick to say, fine, it's all yours.
Our guest is Susan Cook Kittredge, author of an opinion piece this week in the New York Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there is, in a way, you said goodbye to your father. What was it, you know, at that moment, then dealing with the fact that parts of him are still floating around somewhere, that must be extremely difficult.
You know, I think we all try and get, if we've been with anyone who's been dying a difficult death or particularly prolonged or someone who's been very ill, we try and get beyond that image. My father was 95 years old. He was very sick. And we, unlike many people, we were fortunate after his death to be surrounded with images of him. There were tributes to him on television, on radio. We got to see him in the fullness of his life. We got to hear his voice, which is very soothing. Some people only hear their loved one's voice when they inadvertently call home and get it on the answering machine. So it helped to eradicate, I think, one of the hardest parts of grief, which is isolation. And so we said goodbye to him, remembering him in his fullness. And that was really a great gift to us. Now, 2 years later, to find that image of his body is what I live with is very disconcerting. And I was surprised. As a minister, I deal a lot with bodies and with tragic accidents and people in grief. And it was really pretty surprising to me that it was so deeply disturbing to spend the past few months with that image before me.
The victims of this crime are also those to whom those body parts, and not just your father's, but unknown body parts from wherever who could be carrying infections. Nobody knows where they're from. Of course, those people must be wondering as well.
Those people have a far harder road to hoe than I think the bodies of than the families of people whose bodies have been taken. I just can't imagine for a minute being told that the piece of bone that actually got put into your clavicle or into your spine and has now fused with your bone is of questionable origin. How do you possibly pull yourself apart and try and get rid of it? You can't. So they live in pretty constant agitation and fear.
And as you've thought about it, have you thought of anything constructive that could be done as medical technology advances? Clearly, these kinds of ghoulish crimes are only going to become perhaps more lucrative.
Well, you know, having my father's body stolen was obviously not something that I would have chosen. And I'm sorry that it has taken, in some sense, his participation, unwilling participation in this crime for it to come to light. But that being said, if his involvement in any way can raise public awareness and bring pressure to bear on congressional leaders and have people start to call for the enactment of legislation and regulations that will more strictly oversee and regulate this industry, then I am all for it. But that being said, I think you can change all the regulations you want and you can have stricter oversight and much better medical screening. But until we all understand that death is a part of our lives, not just because we die, but because we all spend a lot of our time grieving for those who have gone and thinking about them, that's how death is a part of our life. And until we welcome that back into our houses, all the regulations in the world will not make that much difference.
Susan Cook Kittredge, thank you very much for sharing this with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to read Susan Cook Kittredge's op-ed piece, it's on our website. It appeared, of course, in this weekend's edition of the New York Times. You can look at our website, npr.org, and, of course, all of the other op-ed pieces on the Talk of the Nation opinion page are there as well. Susan Cook Kittredge is minister of the Old Meeting House in East Montpelier, Vermont, and joined us today from the Capitol Bureau of Vermont Public Radio in Montpelier. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.